Our scripture today comes from 1 John
chapter 3, verses 17 through 24.
But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather together in your presence to worship you, to praise you, and to be washed in your holy word. Lord, allow us to understand, to have eyes to see and ears to hear. We love you and thank you for the time we have in your word. And all of our people said, Amen. You may be seated. So I'd like to start off with a reading from John. John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Jesus commands us to love one another. We continue our study today with the verse I ended with last month, 1 John 3:17. I wanted to back up and review verse 17 to set the context for the verses that follow. Let's again look at this verse. Verse 17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Well, we remember from last month that we are to love our brother. And in verse 17, if we see our brother in need, we need to give. But let's look at the word heart from this verse. The verse states, and shuts up his heart from him. These verses that John has wrote, verses 17 through 24, repeatedly mention the heart. So it might be a good idea to define the best we can what the heart is. Now, falling into my role as a science teacher, my first instinct would be to state, the heart, it's a muscle. It pumps the blood through the circulatory system in organisms. And physically, that would be correct. But the heart is, in the context that John is using it, much more than that. When we think, we use an organ in our head. We use our brain. Our brain is the part we use for rational thought. We use reason and deduction to come up with conclusions. For example, if you see a beautiful bowl of whatever food you love in front of you, there's a process that you might go through. I'm hungry. That food smells great. It looks appetizing. It's available to me. Maybe I should eat it. Or how about another example? There's a fire. The flames are high. It's hot. Maybe I'll keep my distance. Or maybe I'll try to put it out. In both of these cases, we have used our brains to follow a line of reasoning and to come to a logical conclusion. The thoughts and feelings we attribute to our hearts do not necessarily follow the same rules. The heart is instinctual. We hear things said in our culture along the lines of, the heart wants what the heart wants. You can pull up a list of modern mainstream songs, and you'll get a long list of songs that have heart in the title. A quick search yielded several. Now, please, I'm not recommending you listen to these. Or I don't know quite a few of them and wouldn't listen to most of them I do recognize. But we have Listen to Your Heart, Open Your Heart, Unbreak My Heart, Achy Breaky Heart, Harden My Heart, etc. You get the idea. The heart is what we talk about when we talk about the emotions, the feeling of love. It is impulsive, something that happens before we have a chance to think about it. Sometimes it's feelings or sensations we cannot explain. The physical heart is a muscle we do not have control of, which, by the way, from a science point of view, that's a good thing. We need the heart to beat and pump without us having to remember or instruct. It speeds up when it needs to and rests when it's safe to relax. We don't have control over our heart, and our heart is of utmost importance to our bodies. Our heart is also described by some as our conscience. Follow your heart, people will say. The heart knows best. There are many more phrases like this that throw rational thought to the wind and allow for feelings to dictate decisions. What does the Bible say about the heart? Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. From Luke 16:15. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Acts 8:22. Repent, therefore, of this your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Romans 1:21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. John 16:22. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Greek word for heart is cardia. This word is used in some places as the physical heart, but in the previous verses I shared, and the following verses we will be looking at in 1 John, the definition is translated better as the center and seat of spiritual life. The soul or mind, as is the fountain and seat of the thoughts, passions, desires, appetites, affections, purposes, endeavors, of the understanding, the faculty, and the seat of the intelligence, of the will and character, of the soul, so far as it is affected and stirred in a bad way or good, or of the soul as the seat of the sensibilities, affections, emotions, desires, appetites, and passions. As we read through the following verses today, let's keep in mind what the heart is. Let's take a look at verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How easy is it to say words? How much harder is it to portray the words in our actions? When a person is hurting, it is easy to say what you think they need to hear. So sorry for your loss. I'm sorry that happened to you. That's awful. I'm sorry. Now, this isn't to say that words of comfort are not needed, but they should be accompanied with loving actions and deeds. Our thoughts should be of how we can do something for them in addition to the words of comfort. We show our love with deeds and in truth. Sometimes when you have children, you hear them apologize and they say, sorry, and you hear the tone is not right. The red flags go up and immediately, you know, they didn't mean it. They're saying the words, but they don't mean them. They're saying them because they're being forced to. Are we behaving that way as well? When help is needed, do we do the loving work happily, or do we do it grudgingly? James 2:14-16. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What matters is the actions and deeds, and the truth is the motive behind them. Verse 19. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. The love for one another is a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. It is not something that comes naturally to us. Recognizing that this love we are showing is from him, we are able to know we are of the truth. We belong to God. As we have stated before, we are his children. And this love for one another will be evident in us. Again, not because of what we have done, but what God has done for us. Our hearts shall be assured before him. We can come to him in prayer.
we are walking with him. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. The word heart in this verse is by some seen as a synonym to conscience. Sometimes we know. We know that we shouldn't be thinking a certain way. We know how we feel about something, even though we are all smiles on the outside. While others might not catch the false image that you portray, God knows. When we smile and say, I'd love to help, while we walk away grumbling to ourselves, God knows. As we grit our teeth, knowing there's no way out of the conversation that's about to happen, despite the other person none the wiser, God knows. Our hearts can act as a conscience, and we might be convicted by the work of the Spirit in that area. Maybe there's a pointed feeling that is pricking at you. Others will not know if we push that feeling away and continue on. But God knows. God knows all things. He knows our motives, and he knows what we are thinking and feeling. There is no hiding our hearts from God. Psalm 139, 1 through 7. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? 1 Chronicles 28:9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. God knows all things. He knows our hearts, even when others don't. Verse 21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. The author John once again greets us as beloved, our dear friend. John is comforting us, comforting the audience, calling them beloved, dear ones, brethren. If our heart doesn't condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Our conscience is clear. There's not that gnawing in the back of our thoughts, something that we've been hiding from others, kept hidden within ourselves. This is not something of our works, but the works of the Spirit in us. If we are able to have confidence toward God, it's not because of anything we've done. The Spirit has softened our hearts, and our sins have been forgiven through the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can approach God without our heart condemning us only because of the atonement of sins, with Jesus Christ acting as our intermediary. That's it. Nothing from our part. Nothing we did. Our heart does not condemn us only by the mercy of God. Verse 22. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Because of a clear conscience or a heart that does not condemn us, as shown in verse 21, we are able to come before the Lord in prayer. We are keeping his commandments and therefore doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. We are able to ask. We can go forth in prayer. The verse states, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. I've taken an excerpt from a sermon Samuel Pierce wrote on this verse that I'd like to share. He sums it up quite well. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Thus you may easily perceive there is a connection. The word "and" proves it. We have confidence toward God that we are of the truth in this very particular, that we love his brethren and our brethren in him, in obedience to his commandment, and for his name's sake. We, having confidence towards God in this particular, it follows, whatsoever we ask in prayer, on their behalf we receive from our heavenly Father, our hearts going with our prayers, and whatsoever we ask we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. I will give you the general outline of the contents of my text, and then divide and cast it into its proper heads and divisions. Whatsoever we ask, in faith, with submission to the will of God, to a good end, with an eye and aim to the Lord's glory, in the name of Christ, perseveringly, we shall most assuredly receive. So far as it will make for our good, and that of others, we may be as certain of this as though we had it already. This is founded on the following scriptures, and he pulls in these scriptures. John 14:13. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Matthew 21:22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. James 1:5-7. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. James 5:14-15. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. John 16:23. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. It's quite a few verses on prayer. This verse, 1 John 3:22, can be very dangerous when taken by itself. If I ask, I should receive. And the following result, hey, why didn't this happen? This thought process leads to dangerous results. We need to go to our Lord in prayer. And we should ask for what we desire. But God's will is perfect, and ours not. Each week during service, we lift up our prayer requests, and it is right to do so. But the best part of the prayer is when we pray together the Lord's Prayer, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, not ours. Let's look at verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. This verse is the life of a Christian. We are to believe on the name of Jesus Christ and love one another. Agapao is the word in the Greek, the unconditional love God has for us. This is the word for love in this verse. This unconditional love flows from God to us, and God is calling on us to show this love to one another. And as verse 18 says, not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 24. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. As we read through verse 24, John is bringing us back to the point of this letter that he's written. We are continually reminded throughout 1 John of how we can identify the true believers. John has tried in various ways to show the Christians he is writing to how to differentiate between the true followers of Christ and the false teachers that were separating from the group of believers. In the last part of this verse, he identifies the Spirit whom he, the Lord, has given us. What causes this love towards our brothers? What allows us to keep his commandments? It's not something we can do on our own. The Holy Spirit has opened our eyes. God has called us, and it's only through him that we can abide in him, and him in us. Brethren, how should others around us identify us? They should see that we follow his commandments. People should recognize that we believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. And we love one another, not in word, but in deed and truth. Not half-heartedly, under duress, but that we serve one another, give to one another, happily and enthusiastically. We follow His commandments because we are so thankful of the gift of the Holy Spirit that guides us and reveals the truth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word to teach us and to sanctify us. We ask that You help us to keep Your word in our hearts and to meditate on it. We thank You for the love that You have for us and pray that we can love one another in the way that You command. Amen. Please rise as we respond with a hymn of praise.